So we see Elijah and John the Baptist in our readings today. These are arguably two of the most important prophets in the history of salvation, because they did the most to prepare the people of Israel and prepare the world, really, for the coming of our Lord. Isaiah is thought to be the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, and it's clear because so much of what he said and did is recorded in the Bible. His book is the thickest of the prophets' books. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophet, because that role of prophet then passed to our Lord. So these are two very important figures who show us the role of prophecy in the history of salvation. They show us what being a prophet is about. Now, I think a lot of times we think of prophets, we think of someone who's foretelling the future. You know, someone is said to be a political prophet if they could foretell predict the election, the results of an election, or how a court is going to rule, or an economic prophet if he's going to predict a downfall or a uptick in the economy, or whatever it might be. We use it to a prophet synonymous as a fortune teller, basically. Well, that's not what prophecy is about. That's not what the prophets in the Old Testament were about. We look at Elijah. He had a proclamation of hope. His call as prophet was to go out and proclaim the coming of the kingdom of heaven, to prepare the people of Israel for the coming of the kingdom of heaven, and to proclaim that hope while they were waiting for that kingdom. John the Baptist's purpose as a prophet was one of repentance, to call the people of Israel back to God and to point them then to our Lord, to call them into repentance and then point them directly to our Lord. Well, it's important to understand this, that this is what it means to be a prophet, because we as Christians are called to be prophets. We are called to go out and, as John the Baptist did, as Elijah did, proclaim the good news of the gospel to the world. Not just keep it to ourselves, but go out to proclaim that message of hope that we have for the coming of the kingdom of God, for the coming kingdom of heaven that we all desire. We are called to echo the message of the prophet Isaiah, who said, "Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you." This is a message we need to be proclaiming. Here is your God. He comes to save you. He wants to save you. He wants to bring you to the kingdom of heaven. It's a message that we need to be proclaiming with our lips. Our words need to proclaim this message. But yes, we also, how we live our lives, need to proclaim the message of the coming of the kingdom of God. Everything we do and everything we say should proclaim our faith and love for Christ Jesus, and to proclaim that salvation he desires. Every bit of our lives should be as a prophet, should be as a disciple. Being a prophet is a big part of following our Lord. As I said, John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, because that mantle, that call of being a prophet, then passed to our Lord. Well, we as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, share in that call to prophecy, to proclaim that good news. And it's part of our call as a disciple. So this should cause us to ask, so am I living this? Am I living as a disciple of Jesus? Am I calling people to follow our Lord because I desire to follow our Lord? That because I love him and desire to be with him? Discipleship is something that I think is a concern in our church today. Christians living as disciples. Not just, I'm Catholic because I was baptized, I'm Catholic because I go to church, but I'm Catholic because I believe in our Lord Jesus and I desire to follow him. And sadly, I don't think a lot of Catholics are doing that. I don't think a lot of Catholics are making that commitment to follow Christ with their lives. Not merely going through the motions, just, you know, coming to Mass because you're supposed to, and, you know, saying your prayers because you're supposed to, but truly committing ourselves to Christ. I would argue that a very small percentage of Catholics have actually made that step to come before our Lord and commit themselves to Him. And that should be a concern for us. Because when we look at what discipleship looks like, and we look at how most Catholics live their lives, they're not the same. John the Baptist is the example for us of discipleship. He gave his life to Christ in a way far beyond we could ever imagine. He was basically considered a lunatic out in the desert because he went out to the desert and lived away from people and was calling them to repentance. He was considered almost insane when you look at how he's spoken about in the scriptures. And yet he is the example of what discipleship looks like because he gave himself over to God as a prophet. And then when he saw our Lord, he pointed his disciples to them. He pointed his disciples to our Lord. It's not in our gospel today, but another passage where our Lord is passing by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist looks at his disciples and says, "There is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." Sounds familiar? It gets said every day at Mass. The priest says it as we hold up the host and the chalice. Behold the Lamb of God. He pointed his disciples to our Lord and they followed. Instead of following John the Baptist, they followed our Lord. And then as he's in prison, he sends a message through some of his followers. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? You know, and this isn't asking a question just for his information. He knew that when the Messiah came, when the Christ came, that his ministry was done. He had done his job and he could go off, probably hoping he could go off and retire somewhere, but was probably just as aware that it could end with his life. And what it wasn't just but for his head knowledge. It was to truly know who our Lord was, to enter into that relationship with him, to desire to know him on a deeper level than just head knowledge. That's the challenge for us as disciples, is to come to know our Lord in more than just head knowledge, more than just what's up here, all the facts and figures and information, and here's the rules, and here's what we have to do, all the things we do in our daily lives, but to come to know our Lord personally, to come to know him and to desire to be with him, to follow him as a disciple, as a follower out of love, to love him so deeply that we would give anything to follow him. That is our call of discipleship. So that then when we're obeying the rules, we're not doing it out of fear. We're not doing it out of, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to Mass every week, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do that. But instead, to obey him out of a desire to please him. We love him so deeply that we want to please him. We want to be with him. We desire above all things to be at his feet. And that's why we follow his rules. That's why we follow his commands. Because we desire to be with him and to spend time with him. That we look forward to opportunities to spend time with him. And then that opens us up. That opens us up to his grace, that he may change us and draw us closer to him so that we desire to be with him all the more and rejoice in his grace and his love. Rejoice in being in his presence. You know, this Sunday is called Gaudete Sunday. It's Latin for rejoice. The first word of the entrance antiphon, rejoice. That's why the priests wear the rose vestments twice a year. It's a joyful color. It's a color that should bring us joy, excitement, rejoicing, celebration. That's what we are called to do. That being in our presence should bring us great joy. That we can't even hold it in. That we want to rejoice in being in his presence. John the Baptist knew that his life, his ministry as a prophet, was fulfilled in our Lord. And the call for us is to seek that same fulfillment in our lives by being in his presence. Because that is the true fulfillment that we can have above anything in the world, is that fulfillment that comes from our Lord. So may we seek that discipleship in our lives. May we truly seek to first of all desire to be with our Lord, to know him and to love him so deeply that we then go out and proclaim the good news, to be that prophet in a world so in need of it, and lead others to the one who is to come.